Father, we're gathered here today. We're gathered here to hear words from you. Lord, your word is what nourishes us. Your word is what gives us strength. And so we pray today, Lord, that we may receive your word, that we may ingest it, that we may digest it, and that it may then become a part of us in order to, Lord, strengthen us and to make us to be able to act in a way that pleases you, to be able to take action in the things that you have commanded, and to overall be pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have begun a work in our hearts. Some of us are at the beginning of this journey. Some of us are perhaps getting closer to the end. But wherever we are in this journey, Lord, thank you for every step of the way. Thank you for whatever progress we've been able to make in our Christian lives, not of ourselves, but of your grace, but nonetheless, because you worked in us to have a will toward your things. So now we pray that you will do that for each and every one of us, that we, none of us here, from the youngest to the oldest, would ever be indifferent to your things, but that we might actively pursue them, knowing that there is great reward, and knowing that these things are our life. And in reality, it means that you are our life. We pray now that you will take your word and use it richly in our hearts to bring us, Lord, into more conformity to your plan, your purpose, and your will. These things we ask humbly in the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And if you are among those who like to get the outline out and kind of follow along or fill in the blanks and do some more studying later, now would be the time to do that. I ran across this term in a book some months ago, and it just really had a tremendous impact on me as I began to understand the implications. This is not a phrase that you find in the Bible, neither is Trinity. And although we know the Trinity is taught in the Bible, and there are a lot of words like that that we use to describe something that have to do with a scriptural principle, but the word itself is not in the Bible. But I love this phrase, positive volition. Now, I went to Merriam-Webster, and I went to yourdictionary.com, and I got some definitions here of volition. Volition: an act of making a choice or decision, also a choice or decision made. 2, the power of choosing or determining. And then a synonym, will. And then from yourdictionary.com, volition, the act of using the will, exercise of the will as in deciding what to do. A conscious or deliberate decision or choice thus made. The power or faculty of using the will. So what we're going to talk about today is something that you can't buy at the supermarket. It's not something that you can just go out and acquire that way. It is a quality that the Lord builds into us and that he wants each and every one of us to have. Positive volition is not faith. Faith is a part of, and positive volition no doubt begins with faith. Faith is an entrance way into positive volition. But positive volition involves the will and taking action. Volition implies taking action or making a decision. So positive volition is something, our first act of positive volition toward God is when we hear the word and we respond to it, receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is our first act of positive volition. How many know that it is not enough, it is not sufficient to just know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but that we have to actively accept it by faith into our hearts and our lives? How many know that to be a fact? And that is an act of positive volition that the Lord is waiting for us to take. And if we never take that act of positive volition to say, I want what you have for me. I want what Jesus offers me. I want what he secured for me on the cross. Then we'll never receive it. And we will die lost. And we will spend an eternity, all of eternity, separated from God. That is how important this thing is. We can't save ourselves, but we can display positive volition toward what God has provided for us. And that is what the Lord requires of us. It is faith with works. James says, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith how? By my works, by what I do, by an act and a decision of the will, acting on the Word of God. So you cannot provide your own salvation, but you must act in positive volition to receive it. And then having received it, you must act on it positively every day. Positive volition from yesterday does not suffice me today. Every day, you that work, you have a new decision to make every day to get up and go to work, don't you? You don't have to. People say, well, I have to go to work. You don't have to. Now, if you don't go in, you'll probably get fired, but you don't have to. And school, how about it, young people? You don't have to. Oh, mom and dad will kill me. Well, they might, but you don't have to. Every day is a new act of volition, positive volition toward God. So accepting Jesus is the first act of positive volition toward the Lord. But from that one then, every day, this is to become a continual habit then of acting in positive volition to Him. We know how much sorrow a disobedient and rebellious son or daughter can bring to their parent. And we also are aware of how much pain our Heavenly Father can be put through when we, as those who profess to know His Son as our Lord and as our Savior, are constantly fighting Him and always pulling back and always wanting our way and always questioning and all of that. And that's not the way that it should be. And those who live in positive volition are those who please the Lord. Those who live in positive volition are those who grow in their faith. Those who grow in positive volition, they are those who, when the hard circumstances of life come, they remain steady and their faith is not shaken. Those who do not have or exercise positive volition, they have a lot of ups and a lot of downs. They have a lot of instability in their spiritual lives, and there are even times when they question what God is doing. Amen. So how important is it? It's very important. Now, let me give you some definitions. They're all related, but just a little different way of saying the same thing. Number one. Positive volition, the positive exercise of the will in pursuing righteousness. What did Jesus say? Seek. Is that an act of positive volition? He said, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it, or call and it shall be opened unto you. Each of those is an act of positive volition. He said, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. And it's what? Righteousness. And all these things, the job and the house and the health and the children and all the other will be added unto you. And so, positive volition is the exercise, it's the positive exercise of the will in pursuing, actively pursuing, not waiting for it to come to you. Lord, I want more of you. I want more of your word. I want to dig into your word. I want to read your word. I want to study your word. I want to know what it means. I want to know how it applies. I want, what did the course say? I will serve you because I love you. That's an expression of positive volition right there. Number two, a steadfastly positive disposition toward the things of God. How sad for someone to profess Jesus as Savior, and then you have to drag them to the church meeting. Number three, the active desire to please God in all things at all times. The active desire to please God in all things at all times. Number four, a steadfastly willing, open, and teachable disposition toward God. You ever met somebody, if you say it's white, they say it's black? If you say it's red, they say it's yellow? You ever known somebody like that? Sometimes we're that way with the Lord. And He loves us, but He hates that. A steadfastly willing, open, and teachable disposition toward God. Number five, a set state of will or mind with the object of responding positively to God in all situations. Paul and Silas were beaten to a shred and then thrown into the dungeon there in the jail. And at midnight, they were singing hymns of praise to the Lord. Folks, that is positive volition. And the prisoners heard them. And the Lord opened the prison doors. And the jailer got saved. And his family got saved. And the Lord did some wonderful things. If they had been sitting in there, oh, why us? Oh, this Roman government, they just persecute these Christians so bad. It isn't fair what they're doing to us. Do you think any of that would have happened? No, it would not. Number six, a steady pursuit of God in all circumstances. Well, I'll get back in church just as long as this work situation straightens out a little bit. I'll get back into things of the Lord whenever things, the marriage settles down a little bit. You'll never do it. If you're going to show positive volition, you better start doing it right now, regardless of what the circumstance is, because if you wait, it'll never happen. I'm telling you, it won't happen. Just a few examples. Just whatever. I make time for prayer and Bible study in the face of immense time pressures. Folks, that's positive volition. Those things don't just happen. I've got to want it. Number two, I attend morning service even though every muscle in my body is crying, no! I tithe faithfully when finances are tight. I forgive just because God says to, even though the hurt is deep. I used to say, well, why? To my dad, and he said, because I said so. I stay positive in the face of inconsistencies in other believers. How many of you have met somebody, I'm not in church today because somebody snubbed me 22 years ago. And 3 months and 4 days. But who's counting? I remain steadfast in faith in the face of circumstances I find hard to understand. But folks, that's a person with positive volition toward the things of God. They're not a fair weather Christian. I agree to serve when asked, depending upon the Lord to guide me and give me wisdom, though I feel inadequate within myself. That's positive volition. We could give many other examples. A few Bible examples of positive volition. Abel, who brought the right sacrifice to the Lord. Negative volition. Cain, who says, I'm going to bring what I want to, and you better like it. Enoch, who walked with God when it wasn't popular to walk with God. Noah, who spent years with his sons building an ark, and I'm sure was a laughingstock of the whole community. Abraham, who was willing to forsake everything he had ever known to go to a place that God hadn't even shown him yet in order that he might inherit promises that God had made to him. Joseph, who was sold by his own brothers, then bought as a slave, then falsely accused, then cast into prison. And we don't hear one word of anything, just that God blessed him wherever he was because he had, what did he have? Positive volition toward God. And then when the time came, God did what? Promoted him. He hung in there. Daniel and his friends, Joshua and Caleb, who said in the face of 10 negative reports, we can do it because God told us to do it. And if he told us to do it, he'll allow us to conquer the land. And we could go on and on. They're all over the scripture. Without positive volition, here's what happens. Spiritual growth is stunted. We don't make time for the Bible reading. We are easily dissuaded from making the Wednesday night class or whatever it is, or anything to do with the Lord. We're easily dissuaded. Spiritual growth is stunted. Number two, precious time is wasted. Precious time is wasted while we struggle with doubt and everything in the midst of a difficult circumstance we don't understand. And then when we finally come around and say, okay, Lord, now I understand. Lord, forgive me and all that. That's fine. He forgives us. He takes us back. But in the meantime, we lost a whole bunch of momentum back there somewhere. Number three, we become victims of our circumstances. Oh, I can't help it. Life is so unfair. It seems like I'm just getting ahead and then something else knocks me back. How many knows that's not positive volition? We are easily discouraged or distracted. And how many think there's a lot of distractions in the world today? There's everything out there. If you don't have positive volition to pursue the Lord, there'll be some video game taking up your time. There'll be some internet thing taking up your time. There'll be some worthless TV show taking up your time. And we could go on and on. If you don't have positive volition, there's plenty to distract us. Number five, our testimony suffers because we're not a good witness to what we represent. Our faith wavers. Number six, our faith wavers. After a while, it's like, does the Lord love me or not? Is he hearing me or not? And all of a sudden, our faith is beginning to waver. It's up and down. Number seven, obedience becomes difficult. Positive, write this down. Positive volition is the foundation of all spiritual advance. God has provided everything I need in Jesus Christ for my spiritual growth, my spiritual well-being, and to live in victory in the midst of this present sinful world that I live in. How many believe he has provided everything you need to be a victorious Christian? But it takes positive volition to pursue it and to act on it daily in obedience to the Lord. Amen. So it is the foundation of all spiritual advance. Without it, we can't grow. Without it, we can't be victorious. Without it, we can't have a strong testimony. Positive volition does not, here's a few things it doesn't do. It does not make excuses. Number two, it does not wait for the perfect time or ideal circumstances to do the right thing. It does not depend on others that should be others instead of other for encouragement or motivation. I thank God for all the encouragement that I've had in my life and for people that God has put in my life to encourage me in the ways of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. If I had only depended on that, I wouldn't be halfway where I am, and I'm still not as far as I want to be. Positive volition comes from inside. Nobody else can give it to you. Some of you are still slack, and you've got encouragement. Number four, positive volition does not blame others. Well, I could be a better Christian if it wasn't for this or that or the other or the other. Here's what positive volition does and why we should desire it and be asking for it daily from the Lord. Number one, it pleases God. Because when we have it, we seek Him. When we have it, we want what He wants. When we have it, we're in the yes mode. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Guess who had positive volition like no other? Our perfect example. I do always those things that please my Father. I do not speak on my own, but I speak whatever He tells me to speak. I am not working on my own, but whatever I see my Father do, those are the works that I do. I have a heart for my Father. That's Jesus. He's our example. It pleases God. Number two, it keeps us open to God. It keeps the lines open so God can deal with us, even when we're wrong or whatever. You ever mess up? Sure. But positive volition says, Lord, I know I have. And I know that Jesus died for this. So Lord, I confess it in Jesus' name. I receive cleansing right now in Jesus' name. And I go on in my walk with You. It keeps us open to God. What does that verse say that I put up at the top? If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. This has its spiritual parallel. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Positive volition pleases God. It keeps us open to God. It results in steady spiritual growth. I'm guessing that the number one reason for spotty or on again, off again spiritual growth is the lack of positive volition. They used to tell us in the car business, we don't plan to fail, we just fail to plan. It results in steady spiritual growth. Number four, it provides a visible testimony. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Because as believers, are we subject to the same outer pressures and difficulties in life and stuff as everybody else? Of course we are. But when somebody sees us heading right on, we don't even skip a beat. Some kind of tragedy strikes. Some kind of personal difficulty sets in. Whatever's happening. And we're just as steady in the things of the Lord as ever. And we're just as joyful in the Lord as ever. Do you think that's a good testimony? Absolutely. We're not going around bending every single ear in look of a little sympathy or whatever. I think part of the body of Christ is, yes, we love each other, we support each other, we encourage one another, and that's normal and all of that. But the Lord does want us to grow up sometime to the point where we don't depend on all that anymore. And where we can just respond to Him. And where we can, yes we can, because He can in us, make us steady so that we don't have those ups and downs. And it'll give us a visible testimony. That's one of the best parts about it. People will see it and it'll get their attention. Because believe me, folks, there aren't many people that have it. And when people see it, it gets their attention. Wow, there's something different about this person. I need to talk to them. Dave Sage still talks about the man God used in the Navy to bring him back to the ways of the Lord. And it was just this kind of thing. It was a man who lived what he believed right there in the Navy. It was a man whose testimony was just so strong that you couldn't miss it. And because of that man, Dave was brought back to the ways of the Lord. And he still talks about that brother because that brother had positive volition toward the things of God, to the point that it was a testimony, like we spoke, was it a week or two ago, about having the light up on the what? Up on the candlestick for all to see. And so let your light shine. When we show that positive volition to the Lord in the midst of difficulty, that's what we're doing. We're letting our light shine so other people can see it. It's never more visible than then. Maybe if everything's going good to say, oh, well, you know, But then when they see things aren't going that good, and we still keep our composure, and we still love the Lord, and we're still joyful, and we're still dedicated to Him, that gets people's attention. Number five, positive volition enables us to avoid costly detours, distractions, and lost time. While we're trying to figure out whether God still loves us or whether He cares and all of that, we're losing all kinds of precious time. Instead of just saying, Lord, just show me. Just show me. I know Your purpose is to be glorified in this situation. Just show me what I need to do, Lord. And I'm ready. Number six, and it does result in peace, joy, and productivity. Couple closing remarks here. And I don't think I even put blanks on these. Having positive volition, there's a few things it doesn't mean. Let's keep this thing in perspective. It doesn't mean you are superhuman or have achieved perfection. It just means you have positive volition toward the Lord in the midst of your life's stuff, problems. Number two, it doesn't mean you are immune to the normal pressures and challenges of life. Of course you're going to be tempted sometimes to question the Lord. Of course you're going to be tempted sometimes to say, I don't think I'll go today. Whatever. Number three, it doesn't mean you are superior to other believers or have the right to be critical and judgmental of others. The enemy loves to do that to us, get a little spiritual growth, and you know, when we mess up, who's the first one to tell us? The devil. But then when we do good, then he jumps over and he says, oh, you're so wonderful. But all these other Christians over here, they're so slack. You need to get on their case because they're not doing things right. So what should be a blessing turns into a negative. No, it just means that you have learned to lean on the Lord in all circumstances, and that you are consciously and intentionally taking the steps necessary for spiritual growth and usefulness to the Lord. That's what it means. And that's enough. That's all the Lord wants. That's all He requires. He's not looking for perfection. But He is looking for men and women that have a positive volition toward Him at all times. That regardless of what the outer circumstances are, they say, Lord, I'm with You. I trust You. I trust Your Word. I trust Your promises. I believe the reward that You say is reserved for those who are faithful to You. And today, Lord, I want to exercise positive volition in the pursuit of truth, Your truth. I want to show positive volition in doing what is right. If You said forgive, then I want to forgive. Whatever it is You said to do, that's what I want to do today. Lord, by Your grace, by Your Word, and by Your Spirit working in me, enable me today to by deeds and decisions make positive progress in You, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. Amen?
Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today. You've given us a choice, Lord. And even as believers, You give us a choice. And then a whole bunch of things are dished out into our lives. Some of them positive, some of them negatives, some of them expected, some of them unexpected. And when we don't have that positive volition, we're taken aback. We begin to question. We begin to wonder. And we lose such precious time in our advance in You. Lord, I pray today for myself as spiritual leader of this congregation. And I pray for our deacons. and our boards and every Sunday school teachers and everybody, Lord, in ministry here, that we would have positive volition toward you, that we might have a strong witness and a testimony for you, that we would not be dissuaded, that we would not be thrown off guard, that we would not be taken back when things happen, unexpected things in our lives, but that we would show the same diligence, that we would show the same love, that we would show the same desire for you that we showed on any other day. And by just pursuing righteousness and by pursuing you and by pursuing the right thing, there at the end of the road, it's not going to always be easy, but there at the end of the road is going to be the reward. And along the way, other people are going to be blessed because they're going to see the example. Oh, Lord, just for our own sake and for the sake of the people around us that are watching us, give us that positive volition toward you day by day. May it not waver. May it not change. And Lord, until you bring us to glory, and that's going to be a wonderful day. Thank you for the walk. Thank you for the daily intimacy. Thank you for the daily opportunities, both to be in your word and to bear witness to you. Whatever else is going on, you always give us those opportunities. Oh, Lord, that we would be seizing those opportunities and making the most of them for you. Thank you now, and we give you all the praise. And if there are any who haven't received Jesus, give them positive volition this day to embrace him as Savior and Lord. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a closing hymn, and during that hymn, I'm always right down front here. And if you have something on your heart, you have a prayer request, you have a praise, feel free to share it. And most of all, if you don't know Jesus, would you take that first step of positive volition today and say, Jesus, I want to receive you publicly. You hung on the cross for me publicly. I want to receive you publicly today as my Lord and Savior, and I want to begin a walk with you. Feel free to come as we sing.